Father, we want to thank you for the life that flows down through the ages, Lord, from the beginning of time, Lord, into the Old Testament times with your people then, and on into the new times when Jesus came, Lord, down to our time now. I want to thank you, Lord, for your grace to us, and I pray you'll bless us as we dig once again into your word. It's your word, Lord. Help us to see and understand the great, amazing things that you've done for us, Lord, and the what you want to work in us and do through us, Lord. So bless us and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's John chapter 20 we will be looking at. But I just want to just remind you, when we looked at the crucifixion of Jesus and his burial, and when Jesus was buried, every single one of the disciples, the men, the women, everyone, thought that was it. End of story. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, we read about the chaps who had even heard a bit about the resurrection. They were on the road to Emmaus, and they said, "We had hoped that he would be the one to be redeeming Israel, but it's all over now, isn't it?" Yeah. So none of them, the last thing in the world any of them was expecting was Jesus would rise from the dead. Although he told them many times. But when you're facing death, as they did, this terrible death that Jesus died and his burial, they must have thought, well, that's it, it's the end. And that's what they did think.
Yes.
So none of them are expecting this event to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which makes it all the more astounding. Mm-hmm. And also John is assuming that you've read the other stories in the Gospels. All of them have their own particular slant. They've all got slight variations which say, just show you there's lots going on. That's what they're doing, they're selective in what they say. So I'd like us just to do a quick scan of the other Gospels before we get into John. So we need to look at the end of Matthew. I can't tell you where the passage is yet, but we'll get there. Right, it's around about, yes, chapter 28. Chapter 28, the very last chapter. So, after the Sabbath, this is Matthew's version of the events there. Right. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go and quickly tell his disciples, he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and go to the Galilee, and there you will see me." So Matthew's account is really about the group of women that went to the tomb, and a group of women that met the angels, and in fact the angels then told them that Jesus would have a big meeting up in the Galilee. So that's that bit, and we read about that at the end of Matthew as well. So let's then go to Mark. Mark is really short. Mark's Gospel really ends with the women turning up and finding there's nobody there. Literally, nobody there. That's the end of Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, 16? 16, yeah. Okay, here we are. So, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. So, there's at least three women. Matthew only mentioned the couple, but there's at least three, yeah? And why are they going?
Tonight.
To anoint the body. Because he's dead.
Yeah.
They wanted to finish off the proper burial. That's what it was. Yeah. So, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, so they set off when it was dark, but by the time they get there, the sun's beginning to shine up a bit there. They were on their way to the tomb and asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Well, Matthew tells us it was an angel that moved it. Yeah. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. So they've seen one. There's two, though.
Yes.
Yeah, but he mentions one. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. see the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. So Galilee's the big thing. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. But they said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid. So they didn't say anything to anyone as they were going back. But they went and told the disciples eventually, of course. Yeah, right. So here we have a summary. This is, it says early manuscripts don't have Mark's later bit. It's really, it's a summary of what the early church knew about it. Right? So I think it's genuine, it's definitely genuine, yeah. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Notice that. Mark makes that point. It was Mary Magdalene that saw Jesus alive first, yeah. Out of whom he'd driven seven demons. She went and told those who'd been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Right. And then afterwards Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. They returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Right. So they're not entirely convinced that dead people come back. Yeah. So that's Mark. Right.
Well, now, the Lord had made a few people coming from the
dead. He had.
So
yeah.
They thought they'd understood and said, yeah, I'll go along with that.
Well, there you are. Well, I think they got too much hope, and when hope's dashed, you're just completely down and out.
Yeah.
So that's possibly it, yeah. But anyway, it's not the end of the story, as we know. So let's have a look at Luke, last little bit. And this is chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Oh! They didn't still register really, but anyway, yeah. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others with them who told this to the apostles. So that's, we've got four women now. But you see, there was a bunch of ladies. They just selected the particular ones they wanted to mention. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. So those are the three gospel accounts, yeah? And John's going to fill in some details, because as I said, he's assumed you've just all read that, you see? So there's some more bits to come now from John. So we go to John chapter 20. We've got to try and piece it together. What's been happening? What went on?
20.
John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week. We've got that, haven't we? Mm-hmm. We're all agreed it was the Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. While it was still dark. So things are happening while it's still dark. But obviously it's getting towards sunrise as they get to where they're going. Yeah. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now we're assuming Mary Magdalene didn't go on her own, because all the others said she went with her friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mary Magdalene went with the ladies. Yeah. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved. Right, so when they get to the tomb, they see the stone's gone, some of them go inside, Mary Magdalene is so shocked, she runs back to see Peter and John. John and Peter are living somewhere nearby, in different houses we assume, but they're close by, yeah? So she runs back to tell them, while the other ladies are at the tomb, see these angels, and they tell them that, go and tell the disciples he's alive, go to Galilee. The ladies then clear off, and she's gone now to see Peter and John. Right. She comes to Peter and John, and she says, "Oh, well, the one that Jesus loved is
John.
Right, okay. She said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Now that's interesting. Interesting for two things, right? She's assuming the body's been snatched.
Yes.
Right, that's, so he's dead. Yes. As far as she's concerned, he's dead. But notice how she phrases it. "We don't know where they put him." Why does she say, we don't know? Because she went with another group of ladies.
Yeah.
Just that one little word tells you that they're matching up with what the other Gospels are saying here. Mm-hmm. We don't know where they put him. That's so. Right, so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. So they hear what's been going on, she tells them. And so they set off towards the tomb. Yeah? Both were running. They started off walking, but the more they get excited, the more they run. So they start running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So, who's good at school athletics? It's John. But why does he outrun Peter?
Probably younger.
He's younger than Peter. John lived a long time and he outlived all of the rest of them, yeah? Mm-hmm. He's younger than Peter, we'd assume, yeah? Mm-hmm. So he gets there before Peter. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. So he bent over to look in. What's that tell you about the tomb? The entrance is not high up. You've got to get down to look inside, yeah? So that's what they had to do. They had to sort of bend down to look inside. Yeah, it was carved out. I mean, it was carved out of the rock, but the entrance is lower down.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Lost my place. Where are we? Yes. He bent down to look in the tomb.
Five.
Yeah. He saw the strips of linen lying there. So he saw where the linen pieces had been, where Jesus was wrapped in. Yeah. As well as the burial cloth. Yeah, this has been around. I'm going too far over. Yeah, verse 6. Yeah, he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. Yeah, what's that tell you about Peter?
Curious. He wasn't afraid.
He wasn't afraid. He's curious.
Yeah.
He's what we call impetuous. That's Peter. All this is absolutely true to type.
Yeah.
Peter's just like that, he can put his foot in anything, you know. Right? So Peter's going in the tomb, straight in, no messing. Says, he saw the strips of linen lying there, just like John had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But it says, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. So Peter sees something extra that John didn't see by just peering in at the beginning, right? Okay, so he sees, what was this burial cloth around Jesus' head? It's what they wrap around the head to stop the jaw falling away and so on. That was the idea. Yeah, so the cloth strips was to hold his body with the spices and the cloth around his head. That was with Lazarus as well, you know, when he sort of walked out like the mummy, unfastened, he had to unfasten his jaw bit as well. Right, okay. So, the cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. What about that?
It's all been folded neatly.
It was neatly folded up. Mm. I've often used this as a text for young children, you know. Tidy up your bedroom.
Right? Yeah.
Jesus was sleeping there and when he got up he tidied it up. Yeah. But it said, obviously, the significance is that the cloths are there, but the head bits are separate. And the body's not been taken because they wouldn't be able to take the cloths with it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Right? So the body's gone, but the cloths are there. So something's up. Anyway, he says, finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. So John finally gets up the courage to go inside the tomb to see for himself. Right? He saw and believed. What did he see?
He saw
nobody, but he saw the cloths, and he thought, he's had to get out of these. Yeah, his body's not been taken, he's got out of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he believed what? He believed Jesus had risen from the dead.
Yeah.
That's, John's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. John's a very spiritual sensitive soul. Peter takes a bit more to get it in, you know, but when he gets it, yeah. But, yeah. So John believed and he said, but he says, remember in the other Gospels, he says, Peter went away wondering what it was all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, eventually the penny drops, but he says here, they still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So John believes that Jesus has risen from the dead, but he hasn't connected that with the prophecies about Jesus rising from the dead. Now, that's going to come later, of course, you know, as they begin to think about what he told them, and Jesus explains to them as well, of course. So the prophecies are there, they never got that. Jesus had told them, they never got that. But now, he's seen, the body's gone, and the cloths are there, Jesus is alive. He's got it. Right. Okay. Right. Then the disciples went back to their homes. So they got different places in Jerusalem at the time. Yeah? Right. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought she'd gone to tell Peter and John.
Yeah.
Well, what did she do after that?
She came back.
That's right. But she didn't run as fast as them.
Yeah.
So by the time they're cleared off, she's just about there, probably just arrived, and she's there outside the tomb. Right. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Yeah. Very, very sad. Yeah. She's weeping. She's very, well, I say emotional lady. She could well be. I mean, Jesus was the best person she'd ever found in the whole world, you know.
Yeah.
He done so much for her, and she thought he'd lost him, you know. So, as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. So her eyes are all full of water, I guess. And she bends over. Again, have to bend down to look.
Yeah.
Bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been. So basically, there was inside the tomb a sort of a little stone seat one side, and a stone seat the other side, and a little trough where the body would have been laid. Yeah? So the two angels are sitting top and bottom there, right? Okay? Well, you've got to sit down sometime, haven't you? Even if you're an angel. Yeah? So there they are, sitting there. And that was a bit of a sight for her, wasn't it? Yeah? They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Right? Just one word to say that. The word "woman" there, isn't it? I mean, when men use that these days, it sounds a bit of a put-down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's not intended at all. It's just in terms of respect. Yeah. Lady, we'd say it, something like that. Dear lady or something. Why are you crying? Because they know.
Yeah.
Right, so they can't understand why she's crying. Yeah. And her answer is, "They've taken my Lord away," she said. Now, what's that tell you about her thoughts about Jesus? He's still her Lord, even though he's gone.
Yeah.
End of story. Mm-hmm. Yet in her heart, he's Lord. Yeah, something. Yeah, right. She says they have taken. Who's they? We don't know, but somebody. Somebody's taken my Lord away. She said, and I don't know where they've put him. Sure don't. Right. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Why did she turn around? She must have felt there's somebody there.
The light.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's possible, yeah. Somehow, you can sense that, can't you, when somebody's there. She sensed there was somebody there. So she takes it. Must be something to get your eyes off angels, you know. Anyway, she turns around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't recognise it was Jesus, of course, yeah. Right. She did not realise that it was Jesus. Why didn't she realise it was Jesus?
Sorry?
He's dead.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is one of the tragedies of our lives. On a very trivial level, you don't see what you're not expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there are times I've been looking for things and they're not where I expect them to be, so I don't see them where they are.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you think, oh, it's there.
Yeah.
I'm certain. I'm certain that's part of it. I mean, she's crying.
Yeah.
I don't think she'd be looking up anyway.
No.
Yeah. But she's distressed, and she's not assuming that Jesus is alive. And it's what's in your head that affects what you see sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case for this dear lady. Yeah. Right. She did not realise that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Yeah. Now it's a lovely this. Yeah. Again, why are you crying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You needn't be crying, you know, but because they know why, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you crying? But what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, "What are you looking for?" Because
mm-hmm.
she would have said, "I'm looking for the body."
Yeah.
A what?
Yeah.
But Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" Because the who is alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who are you looking for? Thinking he was the gardener.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, if you have got these special, I mean, this is a rich man's garden and a rich man's grave. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can afford to have a gardener look after it, a caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, Joseph of Arimathea would have probably had a caretaker, but the caretaker's not here today, as it turns out, yeah. Thinking he was the gardener, that's what she's assuming. She said, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." She thinks he's taken her away somewhere then. Right? That's her assumption. Sir, if you've carried him away, is it you? Tell me where you put him, and then she says, and I will get him.
Yeah.
That's rather optimistic, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, a full grown man,
yeah,
and she's going to get him?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but you know, we're superwomen when we want to be, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, her intentions are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get him. Jesus said to her,
Mary.
He didn't say Mary. He said Miriam.
Yeah.
Well, Mary is a translation for Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
But Miriam is her name.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's, but it's, I mean, this is the important thing, isn't it? It ain't what you say, it's the way you say it.
Yeah.
Jesus said Miriam like he said it 1,000 times before.
Mm-hmm.
And she instantly recognized who it was. And that's a lovely illustration. My sheep recognize my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her eyesight's not very good, but her hearing's pretty good, eh?
Mm-hmm.
She gets it when she hears her name. Because it's that affectionate term that Jesus used. Miriam, he said. And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Now, John's helping us out here, in case you didn't know what Rabboni means, you see. Because he's writing to Gentiles, substantially. So, but he tells us exactly what she said. And why did she cry out in Aramaic? Because that's her home language. Yeah, that's the language she'd spoken to Jesus with, of course. And so she cries out in Aramaic. And the interesting thing is, you'll see this in Acts. When people are really excited, or something's set them off on edge or whatever, or something really exciting, they revert to their native language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Because
yeah.
It's the natural thing that comes out of them first.
Yeah.
Yeah? That happened when Paul raised somebody from the dead in the Asia area. Right? The locals suddenly started crying out in Laodicean, he says, or Laodicean, whatever it is, Lyasonian language, that's the name, yeah. The gods have come down first. Because they would have been speaking Greek normally, but now something's really touched them, they're back to their old language. She's doing the same. Yeah? I'm sure she could speak Greek.
Yeah?
But she's into Aramaic now because it's hometown, home language, yeah? So, which means teacher. And so, she's addressing the Lord as the old teacher. That's how she's always spoken about him. Yeah? And there's a little hint in this because things have got to change. Yeah, as we'll see. Jesus said... Sorry, go on.
What was she speaking in before she spoke in Aramaic?
It was probably Aramaic anyway, but because... That was the language of Jerusalem, really. Yeah. I mean, that Pilate spoke Greek, I suppose, or wrote Latin. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hebrew was the religious language.
Wow.
Yeah, and Hebrew and Aramaic are closely related. They're not the same language, but they're closely related. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. In the synagogues, it was Hebrew.
Yeah.
Particularly in the Galilee, from what I've read and discovered. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Anyway. The Greek actually says she cried out in the Hebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the word for Hebrew and Aramaic is a very similar language, that's why I got the idea.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't hold on to me, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Why? Why did he say that?
Because if you touch him, he won't.
No, it's not. It's not about touching Jesus, because later on we'll see Jesus says to Thomas, "Oh, look, touch, go on, I'm feel, I'm real, yeah." So it's not about touching. In fact, in John's letter, you read John said, "That which we have seen, that which we have handled, that's the word of God we're telling you about, yeah." And he'd seen Jesus, and he'd been next to Jesus at the resurrection as well. Yeah. So it wasn't about touching. What's Jesus saying to him? Don't hold on to me.
In your heart.
In your heart. Well, she's got to hold on to it in her heart.
Don't.
Any guesses, lads?
Don't keep me as you saw me. Is it that kind of...
Things have changed. It's not anymore. It's not the physical thing anymore. I'm not just here as a physical presence.
Yeah.
Yeah? Things are going to change. Mm-hmm. I'll be here. I'll be as real and more real. But things are changing.
Yeah.
Right? You can't keep me like this now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I'm going to the Father.
He won't be living amongst them.
Not in the physical sense. No. Right, that's the point. That, but that's why he warned and told them earlier on. I'm going, but I'm going to send you someone, just like me, to be with you, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So that's, I think, what Jesus said. Because she's called him teacher. That's the old style, the old ways. We're back to the old times, Jesus. No, we're not. Things have got to change. Yeah. Things have changed for the better, of course, but it's nice. Wouldn't it be nice to have Jesus here with us like that? Yeah, but you know how it is. He knows best. Jesus knows best. Yeah. So you can't grasp the Holy Spirit, no. Being grasp you. Alright, yeah. So don't hold on to me. Keep holding on to me, yeah? Fine. For I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them. Interesting. Jesus says, go on instead to my brothers. Mm-hmm. Do you know who the brothers are? They're the disciples who've done a runner, who denied him, who've gone into hiding. These are his, what he calls his brothers. Isn't that an encouragement to them? Yeah. I've not chucked you over. I've not finished with you. You're in the business with me, my brothers. Yeah. Isn't that lovely? An encouragement for them. Yeah. And one interesting question is, why did Jesus appear first to a woman? Of course, women are best, aren't they? Oh, right. You'd say that, yes. Yeah, right, yeah.
Women don't believe anything.
They're more receptive. Yeah, well, maybe so, yeah, sometimes, possibly, yes. I think the women showed more loyalty to Jesus than the guys did. They were at the cross. I know John was there as well, but the ladies were there at the cross. And so that honour is given to them. Yeah, well. Anyway, they all saw him in the end, of course.
They
Yes, right. Okay, so, right, now then. So, I go and tell my brothers, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, that's a beautiful phrase, but there's some interesting things in that. Jesus is saying is, I'm going back up to heaven to Father, and it's my Father and your Father. He doesn't say our Father. And it's my God and your God. He doesn't say our God. Why? The different relationship. The relationship that Jesus has with Father is Father God to Father Son. Right? Where for us, it's an adopted relationship. We're humans, we've got. Right? Yeah. So Jesus is talking about, we're brought into that relationship with God and with the Father, that the relationship Jesus has with the Father is unique. We're made to be sons, but it's adopted sons in that sense, yeah? Okay, so, anyway, he's saying, I'm going back to where the power is. Yes? Good stuff, yes? Right, going back there, right, okay. So, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, yes. Do you think she ran now?
Yes.
Yeah, I think she's definitely got it. She ran with the news, yeah? And she bursts into the door and tells the disciples, there must have been someone, there's obviously in the group at this point in time, you know, it's not just they've gone back to their houses, they've obviously got together for something or other. Strange things are happening is what it's about, yeah? So she goes and bursts in and tells them, she says, I've seen the Lord! Great! Yeah? And you'd expect them to say, it's now wonderful, hallelujah! But it says, she told them, that he'd said these things to her, right? And we know how they responded from the other Gospels. No. In fact, let me just show you in Luke. It's at the end of Luke, in chapter. We're on the road to Emmaus. Right. It's terrible. It's real. Male bad stuff. This is right. Right, it's verse 22. Verse 19. Mm-hmm. What things he's talking about? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. It's chapter 24, verse 19. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped, and that's a sad bit, isn't it, yeah? We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Some of our women amazed us. You know what that in modern translation could be? You know what women are. Yeah. They've got a powerful imagination. That's what they're really saying.
Yeah.
Powerful imagination. Ah, it didn't happen. Nobody saw him. Yeah? The one who they're talking about is the one who's talking to them. It's great, yeah? The Lord's so good, yeah? Wonderful sense of humour, I believe, about these things, yeah? Anyway, so, they don't believe. That's the thing, yeah? So it's been a busy day. Things have been happening, right? Lots and lots of stuff been going on. And in fact, there's one appearance that we're told of in one of those Gospels that we read, that we don't get any account of whatsoever. Jesus met Peter. Jesus had a private interview with Peter. Yeah?
Well, after he'd risen.
After he'd risen from the dead. Yeah. Well, let's have, it's in there somewhere. Which of the Gospels was it? We read it. He appeared to Peter. Is it Luke? Try Luke. Luke 24. Chapter 24, right. Verse 33. Verse 33 of chapter 24 of Luke. The two guys, two Emmaus, it says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Yeah? They believe it when Simon tells them,
yeah.
When Mary Magdalene tells them. That's a rebuke to the men. I think the Lord did that on deliberately. Yeah? Yeah? We're not told when that happened, how it happened. Yeah? That was, I think, a very difficult occasion for Peter. It was very necessary. Yeah.
That wasn't really the same as that.
Oh, No. No, this is on the first day of the week.
Yeah.
The guys have come back from Emmaus, and they're all talking about what the ladies have seen, what Peter's seen, and all of this stuff, yeah? And then, this is the bit we've got to now, so we've filled all that in, so it's verse 19 of John. So they're all there, that's not just the 11, in fact it's only 10, because there's one missing, yeah? But there's not just those, there's other people's as well, there's the people from Emmaus, probably some of the women and all that, yeah? They're all there, yeah? On the evening, on the first day of the week,
what
this is verse 19 of chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. So they've got together to talk about it, right? And when is it? It's on the evening of the first day of the week, and John is emphasizing it's the first day of the week. Yeah, this is, we could say, one of the first signs of the emphasis on the Lord's day. Yeah.
So what would they say then? That was Saturday or Sunday?
It's Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah. But interestingly, it's late evening. Right, the disciples have been to Emmaus and come back, of course, yeah? It's late evening on the first day of the week. What's John doing with the clock? Because if you're a Jew, yeah, in Jerusalem, on the evening of what they're talking about, no, it's equivalent to Monday already. Remember, the next day starts in the evening, right? John is going by Roman time. As far as he's concerned, it's Sunday evening. It's not Monday morning. Yeah? Right? All through, John is using Gentile time. Because he's writing to Gentiles. Yeah? So on the evening of the first day of the week, which is Sunday night, not Jewish Monday morning. Yeah, got the idea. Right, okay. See, all these little things, you know. Yeah, okay, so they're all together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. What doors would they be then? The doors of the room, and do you know what these houses have, they sort of outside gates and things like that, I bet the gates are locked as well. Mm. Yeah. And why are they afraid of the Jews? Well, when you say the Jews, it means the authorities, of course.
Because they think they'll come up for help.
They're next. Yeah. Yeah, they're next on the list. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and of course, the Sadducees, well, particularly the Sadducees, were a vicious lot, you know. Mm-hmm. So, there we are. They're afraid. And there they are, locked in the room. And he says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. How about that? What's remarkable about that? But before the calm bit.
He got in.
Yeah. How do you get into a room that's locked and the doors are locked?
Yeah.
He walked through the door. I don't think he walked through the door. I think he appeared in the room.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
How did he do that? We do not have an explanation. But one of the strange things, I mean, Jesus, this is true of the angels as well. One minute they're there, next minute they're gone. As far as our world's concerned, they live in a different dimension. We could use that phrase, I suppose. Yeah. There's more out there than meets the eye, I think, that part of it. But even on our level, one of the strange things that we've discovered in science is that virtually all of this room is empty space. Mm-hmm. Yeah? This solid thing here, 99.999% of it is space. Mm-hmm. The atoms that it's made out of, 99.9% of it is space. It's a little proton thing, or a little nucleus, and the electrons floating on the outside, and all the rest is empty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And most of the things you can't see out there.
Yeah.
And that's why radio waves can pass through all this stuff, because it goes through all the gaps. Mm-hmm. It's full of holes. It's all full of holes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, doors are full of holes. Jesus could come through the door, no problem. But I don't think he did that. I'm just saying, you know, our understanding of the natural world is better than it was in those days, but our understanding of the supernatural world is no better now than it was then. Mm-hmm. And the Lord can appear and disappear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a whole bunch of angels for the shepherds, you know, as they were looking after their sheep, all of a sudden coming up to Christmas, you know. Yeah. All of a sudden, there was the heavenly host, a whole gang of angels. The first outside pop concert.
Yeah?
Best music ever, yeah? And there they are, and they suddenly go. Well, have they moved? They've just changed that. What dimensions, all I can say is, we live in space and time. Mm-hmm. There's probably other things besides out there that they're living in. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there you are. Jesus got into the room. Yes, that's the starters. I'd be a bit nervous, wouldn't it, really? bit of a fright for them. Right. So we're told here, Jesus came in and said to them, peace be with you. Wow. When Jesus says peace be with you, you get something. Yeah. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. How about that? Mm-hmm. Why did he do that?
To show he was.
Yeah.
To let them know he's
in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the two contradictions in a sense, a contradiction here. Jesus appears in the room. That could be a ghost, you could say, yeah? Right? But he comes and he shows them his hands inside, and I'm sure he says have a touch as well. Mm-hmm. Right? What he's saying is, I'm real, it's me. Mm-hmm. Yeah? A real body. Yeah? And this is the tragedy of some of our so-called Christian church leaders that say that the resurrection of Jesus was spiritual. Mm-hmm. This is John telling you, it's a body that came back from the dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And John's saying that to the people of his time, because there were people, they were called the Docetics. I don't know if you've heard that group a lot. The Docetics means it seemed like it. It seemed like it, body came back from the dead. Well, John is saying it really did come back from the dead. You know, this is a body that God, you could feel and touch, yeah? Right? He's different, but he's the same as well. Yeah. Right, so, he shows them his hands and feet, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And the other gospel says they were overjoyed, but they couldn't believe as well. It's just too good to be true, but it takes some time to sink in, if you think about it. This is the most astounding event in the history of the world. I mean, you can't blame them for being a bit dumb about it, really, to start with. So, they were overjoyed when they saw, what's he saying? The Lord. I'm telling you, the use of the word the Lord has changed in their minds.
Yeah, they know. Yeah.
This is God in their room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now things are different. Yeah. Okay. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you," because they're so flabbergasted. You know, mm-hmm. has to repeat themselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. "Peace be with you." And then he gives them a commission. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And I guess he's really talking to the church as it was there, but the leaders that would be there, yeah? They're commissioned to do the work. But we've all been commissioned in one sense, haven't we? Yeah? "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." How about that? And did they? They must have done. Jesus doesn't do things by the heart. I mean, when he does, yeah? He breathed on them. He breathed. Just breathe. Receive the Holy Spirit. I think that was the beginnings. I mean, Pentecost ultimately is the great giving of the Holy Spirit. But these disciples, because they're in the first stages of having to learn all what's happened to them and understand, and then they're going to pass it on to the church, right? They really need special help to start with. They're special needs disciples.
And they needed the Holy Spirit to be able to understand
to grasp it. So Jesus gives them an impartation. That's what I'm going to say. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says this: "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. But if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. What's Jesus doing there? There's a lot of debate and issue about these particular verses, yeah, but what it seems to me is that Jesus is saying to this group of leaders, and that's what they're going to be, yeah, group of leaders, he says, "I'm giving you the authority, yeah, to make judgments under my guidance, by my Holy Spirit, I've just promised and given to you, yeah, right, that you will make judgments about how things are and how things aren't, according to God's teaching and God's word, yeah. So when you in the church say, "Oi, you're not doing right, you're to stop it, it's wrong," yeah, then that's they're passing on the judgment that God's made already about the situation. So what they forgive is forgiven. Yeah, and what they say, it's got to be sorted out. It's not forgiven now. They're going to sort it out then, yeah? So what Jesus is doing is commissioning his disciples, he's breathed on them, he's giving them a place of authority. We read in Matthew's Gospel, he says, if someone doesn't do something right between you and your brother, sort it out between your brother and your sister, or whatever it is, yeah? If they won't listen, take it to the church. Or a couple to start with, you know. Don't escalate too much, yeah? Take it to some, yeah? Pass through it. But then, if they don't sort it out, take it to the church. And the church, as the society, community of God's people, will say, you know, he's out. Yeah? For discipline. I mean, it's not to chuck him out for the sake of it. It's to want to bring him into the right relationship back to the Lord, yeah? It's... So that they're being commissioned to exercise discipline is where I'm getting at, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not doing that, though,
are they? When was the last time you heard of anything like that? I don't think so very often. No. Because probably the tragedy is they don't know what's right and what's wrong.
No, quite.
Yeah. So, we're going to have to stop there because next one is, it's going to be a week later and we mustn't rush things. Right. Well, just before we get there, we'll get that. We'll come back to it next time. I'll just read it to you. "Now, Thomas called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails are and put my hand on his side, I will not believe it.'" So Thomas was out at the time. Why? Why wasn't Thomas there? Well, it was God's plan as well, of course. Yeah. I mean, the Lord allowed this for his own wise reasons. Yeah. But I suspect Thomas, he seems a bit of a... Struggling to cope with the disappointment. Yeah. I think he was seriously down. I think he just... He's so down. Some people do that, you know, it's what I call the tortoise syndrome, you know. When you're hurt, you pull yourself onto yourself. That's what I think he's done, yeah. And so he's missed out, because of that, he's missed out on the blessing.
Yeah,
sad to say, but it's a good thing for us. I love Thomas, yeah. Because, I mean, if Thomas is convinced, then anybody should be. I mean, this guy is the biggest skeptic going. You know, he lays down conditions. I mean, fancy that, lays down conditions to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Unless the Lord does this, this and this, I'm not having it. Oh, well, you know, if I'd have been the Lord, I'd have blown him up. But the Lord didn't do that. The Lord didn't do that.
Why did they call him the twin?
Because he was.
Who was his twin?
Yeah, I don't know if he died or he was somewhere else. You don't always go around with the twins, you know. Yes, that's what he was, though. He was a twin. Yeah, must have been, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a mystery for you. What became of the other twin? We don't know. We don't know. Yeah. And just some more appearances that we're not told about. Yeah. We've got the ladies. We've just got to get Thomas now. Mm-hmm. Right. Jesus appeared to his brothers. The earthly brothers, half brothers of his. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That must have been a bit of a shock to them as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but just read it to you if I may. It's in 1 Corinthians, I think, verse chapter 15. And we'll finish with this one. Right? It's Paul about the resurrection. Chapter 15. Yeah, chapter 15, verse 3. For I received what I passed on to you as of first importance, underline this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter. Didn't mention Mary Magdalene, did he? That he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. Well, the 12 are called 12, although there's only 11 of them. Yeah, right, yeah. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living. That was in the Galilee. That was going to be later on, yeah. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. So he says that the Lord appeared to James. Who was James?
His brother.
Yeah. We're not told how that happened. Yeah. So there are lots of, and John's going to say this, there are lots of things that Jesus did I've not written about. I'm just telling you the bits that I want you to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Shall I miss the sermon?
We've got to wait until next week, like Thomas. I wonder what it was like for him all week, no, saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive from Revelation. Shut up! Ah, never mind.
Why was it
say,
and then to the
12,
because there was only 11?
Because that was the official title of them. And there were going to be 12, and Paul became the 12. Well, actually, they appointed somebody else, Matthias, I believe his name was. Yeah. No, that was just the official name they had. Yeah. They don't worry about exact numbers sometimes, you know.
Numbers don't mean anything to
them, do they?
Not numbers he wants.
Okay, let's pray, shall we? And, thank the Lord, he's alive. Yeah. Lord, we haven't seen like they saw, Lord. We haven't touched like they touched. And yet, Lord, you've been just as real to us in such a wonderful way by your Holy Spirit working in our lives. Mm-hmm. From the circumstances and things that have happened, that we've seen, those coincidences that just can't be coincidences, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. And we just bless you, Lord Jesus, that these people, just like we were, Lord, could hardly believe, well, they couldn't believe, that this was going to happen, Lord. It took them completely by surprise. Lord, you told them, and they never got it until it happened. And Lord, that's a bit like us as well, Lord. We're a bit slow on the uptake. But Lord, about this amazing thing, it's no wonder, Lord. The greatest thing that's ever happened on earth, Lord. The Son of God who died and rose again. Lord, we bless your name. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, you are alive, the risen, living Lord. And now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, able to minister to us and to all your children throughout the world. Thank you, Jesus, that Mary Magdalene had to discover, Lord, that there's something new and something marvellous going to change. Lord, that your presence could be with us wherever we are, Lord, and it wasn't going to be like it was in the old days. Thank you, Jesus, for the old days, for the things you showed them, the experiences they had, that they could tell us about you in a very special way. So, Lord, thank you for being the same wonderful Lord, and yet near to all of us now. I pray your blessing on us, Lord, and your grace. Father, thank you for your Son. He is the best. And we praise you for him. Amen.